Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
We hear it all the time, fake news. President Trump says fake news. I've had progressive friends say fake news on Fox, fake news on talk radio, fake news on the internet, the conspiracy theories, and then there's fake news in the mainstream media if you are conservative. Joining me now from Newsbusters is Kyle Drennan, who's written an article on this topic and citing a Politico poll. 46% of voters believe the news media fabricate news stories about President Trump and his administration. Savannah Guthrie actually asked Dan Rather that from the Today Show, and Dan Rather, of all people, who got nailed for a story on George W. But hello, Mr. Drennan.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for being on. So I understand that we have these various camps, and I know that some people watch MSNBC and CNN all day long or all night long. I know my mother did, my sister, my aunts. And then if you're conservative, you're watching Fox all the time. So isn't it just people believe their own side? Isn't that the case, Kyle?
Yeah, no. I mean, there's definitely, you know, it used to be where you just had the big three networks and some of the major newspapers, and obviously, now you have all different kinds of cable channels, you've got online media, you've got so many different news sources, then, you know, there is a tendency for people can just kind of go seek out the news that they want. So there is an element to that. But a lot of that, you know, fracturing of the news media and people seeking out other sources is because the, you know, mainstream, traditional, you know, however you want to define it, news media is liberal, and voters consistently for years, if you look at polling, have said, yeah, the media is liberal, and yeah, we don't really trust them on a lot of their reporting. And so people are seeking out other kinds of information or just going, you know, where they think they're going to get more credible information. And that's part of the reason for all this fracturing.
Well, the seeking out started, didn't it, back in like 92 when Bill Clinton would go on Phil Donahue and Ross Perot went on Larry King. And I mean, it's been going on a long time to go around the
exactly.
And, you know, that's what we have. And I think what we have, and I've talked to your people in your profession, they'll say, well, you still have a percentage of the electorate. They just watch the network news. Well, I haven't seen a network newscast in so long. But I guess it still serves a big chunk of the population, right?
Yeah, no, and that is the important thing. That's why, you know, it is important to keep an eye on what the network news is doing, because there are still millions and millions of people who watch the network news. You know, there are a lot of people who just, you know, they wake up in the morning, they'll turn on the Today Show or Good Morning America or what have you, and, you know, they're not, a lot of people aren't as politically engaged necessarily.
Right.
They
yeah,
have busy lives, and they're just sort of, they turn on one of these shows, they see a big flashy headline, and, you know, no matter how biased it is, that may be their biggest source of news that they're going to get that day.
Well, and then, right, and the millennials just have news clips from the Today Show on their live stream. They don't have cable. So, you know, they'll watch headlines from the Today Show clips, you know.
Right.
So that's where we are, and I don't see it changing. I've always wondered, like the Associated Press controls a lot of newspapers, although newspapers are dying out, but why wouldn't a billionaire conservative buy the Associated Press? I mean, there are ways to circumvent the if you're worried about bias in mainstream media, there's a way to buy mainstream media, Kyle.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, in theory, you know, it's, you know, anybody could buy, you know, if you have the money, you could buy a media company and try and, you know, get it to sort of cater to whatever your perspective is. You know, I think one of the things with the liberal media, though, is it's not even necessarily an orchestrated effort sometimes. It's you just have all of these liberals who live in these big cities, live in D.C. or L.A. or New York, and they, you know, they're all liberals, they're all Democrats, they're all in the newsroom together.
No,
They just sort of, you know, that's just their natural inclination is to follow.
No,
that.
I understand that.
Yeah,
but they can't have too much power, Cal, because the network news out of New York didn't keep Trump from winning West Virginia by 43 points, or Indiana by 33, or Alabama, or Kansas, or Oklahoma. So in other words, the people that live in those states don't care that much about what they say on the CBS Evening News, or at least it doesn't change their vote.
I mean, It depends on the state. It depends on the voters you're talking about. You know, there's a lot of, you know, swing states, swing voters who can be affected by the network news, by major newspapers and that sort of thing. You know, because it's, again, if, you know, it sort of depends on if you're sort of a more savvy news consumer and you're suspicious of the, you know, mainstream media, then you'll sort of seek out more information. But the more casual news consumer, that, you know, a lot of this stuff is these are the headlines that they see, and they may not get, you know, the real facts or the opposing point of view. So, you know, I think that's why it's still a threat, and it's still something that needs to be, you know, taken on and challenged.
Right. Well, you talk about the casual, you could say, low information voter from your perspective watching the network news, but then you have people who are vested on the conservative side, who have 3 hours of Rush and 3 hours of Hannity and all day long on the radio, and they get their stuff all day. And we're talking about the millions, the tens of millions of people, and they're motivated. And is that not a reason why we are so polarized and there are no moderates? I mean, how many moderates exist in the world? Probably not very many.
Well, it is a more polarized time. That is true. I do think, you know, with you know, when we talk about, you know, sort of conservative talk radio and that sort of thing, it's, I think a key difference there is, you know what you're getting there. You know it's an editorial.
I know, but the key to that is the listeners, though, Kyle. The key would be the listeners, not the hosts, because the hosts are the ditto heads. They agree with their audience.
Yeah, no, and, I guess my point is just simply that it's a different situation because you have the people who listen they already know sort of what they believe who are listening to Hannity or whatever. Whereas the network news, the Evening News, the Washington Post, New York Times, what, you know, whatever it is, that masquerades as news, but it's editorializing in much the same way.
Well, I understand.
But they say that they're being objective.
I wonder how many people I grew up with in Indiana, or who grew up in Oklahoma or Montana, how many of those people read the New York Times? I guess is my question. I mean, or the Washington Post. I guess you could say they watch the Evening News, but I would say that a lot of those people are listening to Rush and Sean and Levin and Laura, and they're reading their local paper's editorial page. I mean, I don't think it's as once. I mean, it's no longer one. It's not a case where you have Cronkite, Jennings, and Brokaw, and then William F. Buckley on Sunday on PBS. I mean, things have changed quite a bit, Kyle.
Yeah, no, they have changed, and I think that's an improvement, obviously, over having that sort of monopoly. But, you know, it's still, they may not read the New York Times, but the New York Times is still, that's the New York Times stories are what's setting the agenda for the network. So if they do watch one of the network morning shows, if they do watch an evening newscast, then, yeah, they're seeing,
right,
they're often seeing what's being reported in the New York Times because it's such an echo chamber.
Well, and that's why, because you'll notice Fox will spend a lot of time reacting to what's broadcast on the other networks, whereas I don't think the other networks spend as much time reacting to Fox. I know there's a little bit of that, but that could just be because Fox is standing there alone in the Fox hole compared to the others, and they feel like they have to do the bidding for the president. Isn't that fair to say?
Well, I do think Fox has seen an opportunity to sort of, criticize the rest of the media and sort of say, here's what they're not covering. Here's, we're going to focus on the stories that aren't getting covered or that are being,
ignored.
Or being, not reported accurately. So I think, Fox has sort of, that has been part of their appeal and part of their, model of reporting. So I think that's, that definitely has.
Aren't we getting to the point where that Bob Menendez trial in New Jersey, the Democrat, I mean, are we getting to the jury on that pretty? I don't think we've seen virtually any coverage of that trial. I mean, I don't.
No, absolutely not. The networks have just really completely ignored it. You got this trial going on. We're coming to the end here, and pretty soon there is going to be the jury is going to make a ruling, and that should be coming any day now. And hopefully, I mean, it would be incredible if they didn't cover a conviction, if you were convicted of corruption. But yeah, there's been nothing about the trial on the networks, virtually nothing. And so I think a lot of people may be surprised if there is a conviction, if that happens. They may be surprised because they haven't seen anything about the trial so far.
Well, and of course, if Menendez is convicted, his seat won't be open because he'll appeal. So he'll appeal prior to the governor will be the Democrat sworn in January, and the Menendez will still be in appeal. So it's not like Christie can put a Republican in the seat. Right?
Well, that's certainly going to be what Democrats are going to try to do, and maybe they'll be successful. Of course, the job of the media at that point should be to say, well, you can't have a convicted felon in the Senate. This guy has to resign. I mean, that should be part of
discussion. But you and I both know
that would naturally be, but
He's going to appeal. Well, he'll appeal, right?
I mean, sure, yeah, he's going to appeal, but there's also the political pressure of you have a convicted felon, appeal or no appeal. If the media actually wants to do their job, they would, put that kind of pressure out there. But are they going to do that, or are they just sort of going to say, well, the Democrats aren't going to, force him to resign, so, oh, well, and then move on. Unfortunately, that may be how the media covers it.
But isn't that the antithesis of the coverage of Manafort's indictment? Gee, why did Trump hire a guy like that? I saw those stories.
Putting the pressure on, but with Bob Menendez, they don't cover the trial, and even if he's convicted, are they going to pressure any Democrats? Are they going to say to Democrats, well, now don't you have to call on him to resign since he's been convicted of
a
crime?
Well, you may see that on Breitbart or Rush, but you're not going to see it
anywhere. Unfortunately.
You won't do it. Hey, you got to find some rich billionaire there, Kyle. Otherwise, it's not going to change. But, I mean, it's good of you guys to watch everything and monitor it all. But, good luck. By the way, on that score, we've seen a lot of Harvey Weinstein stories. And we had the conservative stories that it took the liberals 5 days to react. But how much time did Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity spend on Bill O'Reilly and Roger Ailes? isn't that kind of the way it is?
Well, no, I think there certainly was a lot of coverage about Ailes and O'Reilly at the time, and Weinstein is obviously big Democratic donor, so it's the other side. But the media is once with Weinstein, to be fair, the media, once it sort of reached that critical mass and really became
I understand, they've been
covering it. I've
seen O'Reilly as a guest on Hannity. Roger Ailes going to slip in the, but people say there's a different story. Well, no, it's the same, just a less of a scale, not a big scale. Anyway, keep watching away there, Kyle. But I still think that people care more when the other side does it. Call me nutty, call me crazy, but. Anyway, thank you so much, and maybe someday you can buy the AP or CBS, huh?
I wish.
Keep saving your money, Kyle. Go to newsbusters.org.
Okay.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, hey. Newsbusters.org, and you can find all of our latest stuff, absolutely.
All right, thanks a lot, man. Appreciate the time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Okay. Come back with, we've got a lot of controversy over the shooting. People are talking about prayer. Our prayers, our thoughts and prayers are with the victims. And there's been criticism by Keith Olbermann and by a lot of people in media on the progressive side, frankly, talking about praying. It doesn't do any good. We need gun laws because prayers don't stop the bullets. That before we have Pastor Phil on. And then we have Rob Vogel, the Badgers. Why not the Badgers for the national title? We'll come back with the Mitch Hank Show. MadisonTalks.com and Facebook Live.
Two Bridges was one of the toughest neighborhoods in New York, especially in the Al Smith projects. It was a no man's land with no rules. On Christmas Eve 1951, Mac Pastamadeo vanished without a trace while walking home with his little boy Angelo. Now 13, Angelo is a gang member and the only witness to the brutal murder of an undercover cop who holds a clue to Mac's disappearance 6 years ago. Stalked by killers, Angelo becomes part of an unlikely alliance of a priest, a mob boss, and a police detective in order to uncover the truth behind the murder and Mac's disappearance. Weepers by Nick Chiarkas.
Good research will make you wiser and more successful. If you operate a business, create a product, or provide a service, what don't you know that your customers know? There are multiple answers to that question that will help you realize greater success. Troy Research is a consumer opinion market research company that finds answers to important questions. Where can good research take your business? Call or email to talk about it. Troy Research, 271-8884, or email jlittle@troyresearch.com. This is the all-new Mitch Hank Show.
In real estate, you want to work with Tim Rayl.
I did work with another realtor, and I had the house on the market for close to a year before Tim stepped in. With Tim, my house was sold in 4 months. Tim Rayl had so much more to give. Tim was always there and accommodated my schedule.
Let's get ink on paper today with Realtor Tim Rayl of Coldwell Banker Success, 698-7653.
I would recommend Tim Rayl any day.
Tim Rayl, 698-7653.
Need a comedian or MC for your private party or corporate event? Don't be shy. I can do it without telling any dirty jokes. In fact, when I'm not doing my Frank Sinatra tribute show, I've done stand-up at the comedy club and at private events for years. Whether it's a large convention or private gathering in your living room, I've done it. We all need to laugh more. The world can be even more stressful than it is. There's no business like show business, and I usually find those of you who have the best jokes about your coworkers at the company dinner. So feel free to contact me at 347-0374. That's 347-0374. Or email at info@madisontalks.com. That's info@madisontalks.com.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hank Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hank Show.
You hear it all the time. And by the way, our number to call is 210-1667, 210-1667. The president said it. People say it after a mass shooting. Our thoughts and prayers are with the families and the victims. We've heard it for a long time. And now we have Keith Olbermann. We have a lot of people in the press reacting, well, that's not going to cut it. We need gun laws or gun confiscation or gun buybacks or something in terms of policies that are concrete rather than just prayers because, as some of the critics said on the left, frankly, they were praying. How good? How did that help them? Did it stop the bullets? No, it didn't stop the bullets. But I think you've had pushback from
believers, from Christians who say it's not about that, it's about what prayer does for the individual. We're going to hear Pastor Phil Blackwell, who's a very progressive pastor, Methodist pastor, coming at 6:30 to talk about this. But the power of prayer, people who believe in the power of prayer do it for reasons other than making it rain or, I mean, right now, or get me $1 million right now. Right, I want to win. I want three wishes, like on a Twilight Zone episode. I want to marry Miss Universe right now. I mean, I don't think we're... Are people praying for that? I think
a few are.
I want to lose... I want to lose 80 pounds in 2 weeks. I want to go to my high school reunion. I want to lose 80 pounds. And I mean, people pray, but I don't think they pray for that kind of result, do they? I mean, you pray for rain. What was the old saying in baseball? Spawn and sane and pray for rain because you didn't have that third pitcher. You know, I'll pray for you. I've heard people have said that to me in life. I'll pray for you. I'll pray for your father. I'll pray for your mother. I'm happy they are. I don't think I really ever thought that they would. Their prayer would maybe change the health conditions, you know, that were going on. But I certainly was touched by it.
Yeah, it's different if they just say that to you on a normal day.
But I think it goes to the yeah right. But doesn't it goes to the disconnect between people who pray and people who don't pray, right? I mean, you've got a world of people who sort of make fun of that, or at least they put no weight on it. Mm. And I think John Edwards, remember John Edwards? He had the ran for president, he had the affair and so forth, but he also had a 16-year-old son who died in a car wreck. And somebody said to him at one of those campaign appearances, do you pray a lot? Do you think you believe in the power of prayer? And he said, no, I don't, because I prayed for my son and he still died. He said that, which I think was a product of a defense lawyer who showed a human moment about his son who died. But as the Reverend Blackwell will tell us, it's not about the outcome or about someone else. Or it's not about, oh, this guy, hopefully if I pray, he won't shoot me. It's really about the person who's praying. We'll get to that. I just thought it was a fascinating topic. And the number to call is 210-1667, 210-1667. I think if you're trying to lose weight, and you pray that you'll have the strength not to succumb to temptation and eat the ice cream or the pizza slice or the pretzel. And you pray to have the strength not to do that, and you're trying to find strength from a higher power, then you're praying about something that you can literally control.
Right. Sure. Yeah.
And you're praying that maybe somebody who's wearing a white hat, meaning the good guy upstairs, will have more power than the guy with the black hat who's got to say, go ahead, have the pizza. Go ahead, have sex with her. Who cares if she's 18? Go ahead. You're hoping that maybe you won't succumb to those dark forces, right?
Yeah.
So if you pray to give yourself strength, okay, maybe you're then... You're praying to get help from a higher power rather than just doing it yourself, because yourself is not going to be strong enough to withstand the temptation, right? Isn't that the ultimate prayer? Lead us not into temptation? I mean, isn't that the deal? Okay, I'm feeling temptation right now. What's going to happen? What's going to stop me from succumbing to the temptation? I mean, at that point, I mean, it's easier for the mind to say, okay, we got Satan over here telling me to go for it. Oh, man, Satan doesn't exist. Oh, well, maybe in this case you want him to, right? You know, you want Satan to exist because you want to blame Satan. Well, the devil made me do it.
Scapegoat.
I killed those five people because the devil made me do it. I wouldn't have done it on my own. But the devil made me do it. And if the devil made you do it, then maybe God helped you not do it. What is that joke years ago? It was this guy. The joke was that God doesn't take engineers because engineers drive God crazy. There's a little bit of a period of purgatory maybe for an engineer, but because God didn't take engineers, an engineer died and went to hell. And it was so hot down there, he said, look, he told the devil, he said, look, I'm an engineer. I can help put some hydraulic systems in, some ventilation. I can get some excavating equipment, put some grass down here, just make it more livable.
Be a nice place, huh?
And so the devil said, well, go ahead and do what you got to do, you know. So the guy goes through all his stuff, and it's very nice, and God says, well, where'd you find that guy? And the devil said, well, he's an engineer. You don't take engineers. And the guy says, well, I want him back. And the devil says, you can't have him. He's already mine. And God said, well, if you don't give him back to me, I'm going to sue you. I'm going to sue you. And devil said, the devil said, where are you going to find a lawyer? I'm sorry. I always loved that joke.
That's good stuff.
I mean, to me, even a lawyer would laugh at that joke. Right? But, you know, is it Harry Chapin? In the journey between heaven and hell, half the time thinking of what might have been, half thinking just as well. I'm that journey between heaven and hell, journey between God and the devil, journey between dark and evil. You know, isn't that, we need that choice, don't we? But it's not for the other person. I mean, I can pray that Mike won't shoot me, but, you know, if he has a reason to, I can't stop him, you know.
I don't.
Well, not yet. He doesn't as of tonight. But Reverend Phil Blackwell, who's a liberal/progressive minister, who's my go-to guy now on bigger issues of a higher purpose, will join us next on the Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com and Facebook Live.
Joe here from Comedy on State. Hey, looking for something different to do with your friends? You got friends in town, maybe you're celebrating something. Comedy on State is known to be one of the top three comedy clubs in the country. We handle it right because of the details. If you want to experience that yourself, MadisonComedy.com. I can't say that enough. You can get links to our text club where you can get free tickets.
For a list of upcoming comedy club performers or to purchase tickets, go to MadisonComedyClub.com and click shows. Performer bios are available by clicking on their pictures.
That's Comedy on State, MadisonComedy.com or 256-0099.
Talk radio will never be the same. The uncommon sense of Mitch Hank has been unleashed worldwide. This is the all-new Mitch Hank Show.
At P3 Pro, we're invested in creating a dynamic video experience for our clients. Everything from planning, shooting, and editing your events, commercials, webcasts, or films. P3 Pro has 27 years of industry standard experience working to make your vision a reality. We stand apart from your traditional run-of-the-mill production experience and create memorable, moving, breathtaking imagery that conveys your message in a powerful way. We take your vision and turn it into a work of art. The art of storytelling, the art of beautifully crafted imagery, the art of persuasion. Visit us on the web at p3pro.xyz or call 608-571-3776. That's 608-571-3776.
6AM Marketing is a Wisconsin-based ad agency that doesn't look or act like other ad agencies. They don't follow conventional thinking and constantly push themselves and their clients to test the bounds of how far they can go. The result is relationships that have lasted more than 10 years. Clients refer to 6AM and their work as fresh, insightful, strategic, edgy, and creative. 6AM shows customers why your products and services are better than the competition. 6AM's brand smart process helps you establish your brand in the market for years to come. With a client's marketing team by its side, 6AM digs for the business problem the client is trying to solve and the business goals and objectives they hope to achieve. examining the market, competitors, the brands, consumers, and messaging to define a brand proposition that is both compelling and unique to the market. 6 a.m. marketing. They do it differently, and they do it well. Go to 6ammarketing.com. That's www.6ammarketing.com.
Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
As we get an expert now in the question of why people pray to help them or help somebody else or help the outcome of a situation, Reverend Phil Blackwell, who was a pastor for many years in Chicago and certainly was a pastor for a while at the First United Methodist Church on Wisconsin Avenue in Madison. Hello, Pastor Blackwell.
Hi, Mitch, how are you?
What is protocol, by the way? Reverend Blackwell? Or?
That takes too long. Phil's okay.
Phil, but I'm just curious. Is it pastor or reverend? Is that the...
In our system, they're interchangeable.
Oh, okay. Well, I like you.
You're the same thing no matter what you call me.
Well, but you're smart and you're a man of faith. You're a believer. But, you've told us, too, that things aren't necessarily as black and white as you might find them on some of those old movies with Elmer Gantry. I mean, there's... Now, let me ask you this. People have been criticizing the phrase, our thoughts and prayers are with the family. And we've had strident pushback in some media circles, mostly on the left. Hey, we need more than prayers. We need legislation. We need action. We need gun control. We need this. Because the people in the church in Texas were already praying, and that didn't do them any good. And to that, you say what?
Well, prayer as a religious concept is really very complex, and there are all sorts of prayers and activities that are assigned the term prayer. But when I look at that political discussion you're referring to, it seems that for some conservatives, prayer is a substitute for doing something. Let's pray. We don't have to do anything else. And for liberals, prayer is an expression of weakness.
Right,
when you're
right.
doing that, you're not doing something else. And
it
reminded me of a story that Coretta Scott King said about Martin Luther King at some early point in the Civil Rights Movement, where he was at the kitchen table and he just began to say to the family how weak he felt and vulnerable he felt, and he just sort of lapsed into prayer in a silent way, and then jumped to his feet and went out with a new kind of resolve, which is to say that prayer without action is not a genuine prayer. Sometimes action without at least thoughtfulness, if not prayer, is not terribly good action. So for somebody to say thoughts and prayers and that somehow saves you from having to do something is unfaithful.
Well, but if your son is 9 and he has a 6-inch tumor in his brain, and you're praying in the hospital waiting area while they do surgery, I mean, you really can't do much in the way of action there.
No. But I know, and I have been part of prayers that have said, "Dear Lord, it is Thy will, take care of that tumor," and sometimes things like that happen, but. To see God as a being in our lives who somehow can swoop down and make everything right for us has proven quite often not to be the case, whether it's war or politics or football. I'm offended when I see a pass receiver catch a touchdown pass and in the end zone point a finger up to the sky as if God helped
God
him
did the,
do it.
The play, yeah.
Yeah, now, if the camera just panned a little to the left, you could probably see the defensive back also pointing a finger to God.
That's true.
God didn't have anything to do with that.
So God screwed the other team, right? So
there's a way in which God is on our side, whether, again, that's our political belief or our national identity. The power of prayer seems to come at that point when it's not about words, it's not about asking for certain kinds of favors, it is bringing yourself into connection with or reconciliation with reality and other people. So to pray for your son in that room is very, very important, but it is connecting you to God and you to your son in ways that may prove to be where the real strength comes and may even result in whatever actions result from your identifying that deeply.
Right. Well, I've talked to people who've for years tried to work on me, and they bring me to lunch and they cite various verses. It's been going on for a long time, and sometimes I'm on board, sometimes I'm too much of a doubting Thomas. I wish you all the best if we ever have that lunch. But, it's easier to say, well, I've got the devil over here saying, go ahead and have that chocolate cake, or go ahead and yield to temptation with that 23-year-old intern. And then I have God on the other side saying, oh, no, don't. Be good. Have a glass of milk. Watch the Osmonds. I mean, so you have that choice, right?
Well, that's one way to cast it, Milton.
Well, I'm sorry, but I'm trying to cut to the chase, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm thinking back to Paul Tillich was a theologian about 70 years ago that talked about God not as a being among other beings, you and me among them, but God as the ground of all being, that is the sense of life itself, and that to pray is to connect yourself with life and with the community of people all around. It has nothing to do whether they are of the same church or same faith or no faith, but that we have something in common with everybody, and if we connect with that, then as Paul says in the New Testament, we're to pray without ceasing. He's not saying we should sit in a corner and just sit with our heads down, but that our life and our every action should be prayerful. If that's the case, then when there are shootings, wherever they take place, that requires not only prayers in some kind of spoken or reverential sense, but it also means prayers in terms of action in order to heal and change the things that are wrong in our community.
Well, in the case of the shooting in Texas, the shooter was an avowed atheist, by the way, who apparently said, "Die, mother blank," which didn't put him in a very good place in the Holy See, I don't think.
No, that those are not good opening lines. But I think one of the, I mean, we say, oh well, you know, mental illness. Well, I mean, mental illness is a real problem in every developed country, no more so here than other places. But to work and deal with the mentally ill is, in fact, can be a prayerful act if you can identify enough with people. Now, you're not going to when they walk in with a gun.
Right.
But here's somebody who had a whole history of needs that went unmet.
I mean,
unmet by the institutions that were involved. Now I can't say that he would have been deterred 5 years ago or 2 years ago, but we cannot simply excommunicate him from the human experience when in fact we pretty well know some of the feelings he might have had.
That's right. Everyone's had a bad day where they cut somebody off on the interstate, or they got the wrong bill because they made a mistake at the restaurant. It was a lower bill, and somebody decided to go, I'll go ahead and pay the lower one. I mean, there's degrees less than just shooting and killing, dozens of people, right, Pastor?
Yeah. No, I think there is an issue around guns that needs to be addressed, no matter who's able and willing or who's afraid of it. But it seems to me that after Sandy Hook, when, 21st graders were murdered, And we did nothing. It became clear that nationally our vote was in, that we cherish our guns more than we cherish our children.
Well, there, that is certainly, I just had the chief police on the first half hour, and we said, we are both for universal background checks, but what does that mean? Because if you're a registered gun dealer at a gun show, you've got to be registered. But if you buy, sell a gun in the hallway or the parking lot, mm-hmm. you don't. So the only way to enforce that would be to have somebody who knew the seller
mm-hmm.
tell the police on the seller, which, mm-hmm. you know, you and I were dropped off a turnip truck a week ago, and that's kind of a tough deal there. Right?
Well, in Chicago, I would talk with people in some of the neighborhoods on the south side who said every Friday night illegal guns would come in from Indiana on flatbed train cars, and people would just go and pick them up. I mean, there
yes.
is a kind of, I would say, unholy sense of access to guns that is peculiar to our country, and for reasons not clear to me at all that it's acceptable. In fact, it has become, you know, par for the course for us, though, as the BBC was laughing at the state of Delaware last week. In Delaware, apparently, you can buy a gun, carry a gun, do anything with a gun, but you can't buy sparklers.
Well, I'm just trying to think how we stop those flatbed trucks from going in from Indiana. Do we just have a roadblock, or we have, you know, again, I always have trouble when we try to put the pieces together on how to enforce that, you know.
Yeah. Well, some of them are coming in from Wisconsin, too, Mitch.
Wisconsin. So how do we stop that? We got to check every truck and then, you know, so you can't take more than two guns. I mean, I don't know.
Well, Australia's done a few things, though I'm not sure what they did, but they did turn some things around.
Things are better? Because I've heard crime in some cases is not less. It's even increased in some areas. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know the data, but I hear, you know, you hear things on all sides on that stuff. I'm all
yeah.
for it. If I could get every gun, I would, but I don't think you can. So.
Well, there are 270 million of them.
Yeah. Well, good luck. Good luck. But I'll go with you to see if we can find those flatbed trucks and, you know, with a flashlight.
Well, I know where some of them are.
I'm sure you do, but what's the law? You'd have to make a law that you couldn't take guns across state lines? Is that what you do there?
Well, those are illegal access guns.
They're already breaking the law?
Yeah.
Oh, so then you got to enforce the law.
Well, yeah. Someone's got to be there to do it.
Yeah, right. Well,
when it's acceptable, or when we just resign ourselves and say, I'll pray in the quietness of the corner of my closet, but I won't get involved in the hard work of making our world safe, then, you know, you've resigned from the human race.
So we got to do some stings on those flatbed trucks. It's already
mm-hmm.
illegal. All right, well, there's action right there, Pastor.
Well, prayer and action have to be together. It's not one or the other, and you can tell both the liberals and conservatives that you better get your act together and learning what prayer is.
All right. Well, you're the man to do it. Pastor Blackwell, we thank you very much, and you do have an effect on me, so after about 1,000 interviews, maybe I'll show a little progress. So,
well, we'll have that lunch, and we'll see if you know, you can make a comeback.
Well, I'm going to turn on my Osmond's record and have a have a glass of milk after this. So.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Reverend.
Okay, good night.
Appreciate it. Take care. And another Reverend man, Rob Vogel, formerly NBC Sports Director, now off every morning on the Big Ten 70 with Mike Lucas. The Badgers could be in the national playoffs because they're undefeated. But the sportscasting community, they say, well, and the sports writers, the Badgers haven't played anybody that's any good, so therefore they don't deserve a higher ranking. We'll talk to Rob Vogel in a moment on the Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
Let our family help your family.
The
This is Pete Gunderson. Pre-planning a life celebration doesn't necessarily mean prepaying. At Gunderson Funeral and Cremation Care, we offer a variety of affordable options that you can pre-arrange for free. It's pre-planning without the worry of prepaying. Learn more at GundersonFH.com, your hometown life celebration center.
Gunderson
If you operate a business, you know there is no one-size-fits-all solution for today's technology challenges. MadisonGeeks.com plans, services, and installs technologies for small and medium businesses like network systems, servers, firewalls, wireless access points, telecommunications, security, remote service options, and business productivity solutions. MadisonGeeks.com is your IT staff. They take time to sit down and discuss your needs and present cost-effective solutions. With a Better Business Bureau A-plus rating, they are your trusted IT outsource partner. Expect less downtime. Faster resolutions lead to more productivity. Fewer day-to-day issues. Their proactive maintenance helps prevent issues from occurring. MadisonGeeks.com also offers computer and laptop service and repair. Madison Geeks are there to help. They're known for their candid, friendly approach and reliable, ready response. Check them out online at MadisonGeeks.com.
The all-new Mitch Hanks Show would like to thank our sponsors. We're grateful for their support of the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
When it comes to telephone on-hold advertising, some commonly asked questions are, why do we need an on-hold message? How do we write a script? How long should the message be? How does the message get played? How much does it cost? I'm Bob of Abella Creative Services, and a telephone on-hold message speaks directly to your target audience while they're on hold with your company. Continuously advertises only your business without the clutter of competitive ads and for just a fraction of conventional advertising costs. At Bob Abella Creative Services, we'll help you draft a well-written script, provide the appropriate announcer, music, or sound effects, and the studio time and expertise to put it all together. We'll also provide you with any special equipment you might need to play your on-hold message. Even though we probably have more experience than most other on-hold message companies, we'll cost you less. Let Bob Abella Creative Services stretch your advertising dollar with an on-hold message that provides your customers with real, actionable solutions to their problems. Bob Abella Creative Services gets results. Just send us an email at bacsgetsresults@gmail.com. That's bacsgetsresults@gmail.com. Mitch Hank for Atterbury, Cameron, Hague.
I'm proud to be sitting next to senior partner and a man who's been voted Wisconsin's super lawyer multiple times, Eric Hague. What do you say to people who feel guilty about hiring a lawyer when they're injured or harmed by a company?
Well, there's a stigma that's been developed over the years where people are made to feel guilty about bringing a claim because of injuries. I have yet to meet a person or take on a client who woke up in the morning and said, geez, I'm going to go out and I hope I get in an accident today so I can make some money. People come in because they genuinely need help, and they're overmatched against a large insurance company. So we try to get them fair compensation and understand that it's probably a time that's very traumatic for them. They need someone on their side to guide them through the process that they're unfamiliar with.
So when you need a lawyer, do what I did. Call Atterbury, Cameron, Hague and reach them at yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com. That's yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
And our good buddy Rob Vogel, former sports director at NBC 15, and is on every morning on the Big 1070 with Mike Lucas. And he's from Minnesota, so I say Minnesota Knights, although he does have that snarky sportscaster sarcasm. Hello, Mr. Vogel.
Brad Stevens for Coach of the Year Hotline. How may I help you?
Brad Stevens for King. Why don't we just go right for the monarchy? Forget about Coach of the Year. Are you kidding? I would give away our constitutional protections and name him the monarch. Glad you brought
it
up.
No doubt about it. You know how to get it done.
For the people at home, he's the coach of the Boston Celtics, used coach Butler, and no one cares about that. But let's get to the choice here about Wisconsin. And the Badgers are 9-0, and people say that they haven't played anybody, and therefore they're not ranked high enough and won't be in the ultimate Final Four. But my point is Northwestern's the top 25.
Iowa is in the top 25. They play them Saturday. Michigan is in the top 25. And if they play in the Big Ten title game, that opponent then will be in the top 25. So that would be four top 25 opponents.
Yeah, it all depends on when and how you phrase that conversation, because if they beat those teams, there's a chance that if you're sitting there now making this, looking back on the season at the end of the year, you're saying, because they beat Northwestern, well, I mean, Northwestern is now in the top 25, so who knows what will happen. But if you beat Iowa, there's a chance they could fall back out of the top 25. Michigan, the same sort of thing. So you don't know whether, if you view it through the prism of now, yeah, then those could look like top 25 wins. If you look through it for what the team's rankings are in a couple weeks, they might not look as good. I've seen both. It seems to swing both ways. If you listen to the shows and the analysts long enough, they will argue against their own points after a while. And those same things that you could say, if you just talk about schedule, well, you know what? Alabama's schedule is not very good either. I'm not making a case against Alabama. They've earned the reputation and the right, and we know what kind of athletes they have to be there. But you can argue that Clemson has a loss to a team that's an unranked Syracuse team. So that's not a good thing on their record. You can go back and forth and round on all these things. I guess you got to take the approach of what Paul Chryst does. Do what you can do, control what you control, win your games, and let it play out from there, and then hope that Barry Alvarez is right when he says, I can't imagine them not taking a team from one of the Power Five conferences that goes undefeated and win its conference titles, especially when you print out the rules, as I did today, the criteria that the selection committee has. They have, I believe it's four, possibly five, but I believe it was four things that they look at. Number one of the bullet points on that list was conference champions, was winning a championship.
Right, right.
So that's on the list.
Well, but I don't know who Northwestern plays, but I don't think they're, I think they're okay. I mean, they have a big heavyweight left. I mean, and Michigan, I don't know who they have this week, but I mean, I think you're going to see some top 25 opponents from here on in, except Minnesota maybe at the last regular season game.
But that doesn't, it depends on how you look at it. As I said, they're top 25 now. Will in 3 weeks.
Well, I know, but who does Northwestern have?
Be in the top 25.
Who does Northwestern have?
I don't think Northwestern has anybody big. I mean, Michigan has an easy game this week, so they should come in riding a win, but then they finish up the season with Ohio State. And let's just say the Badgers beat Michigan, and then Michigan loses to Ohio State. That's two more losses.
You would probably
fall out of the top 25. So you can go round and round and play yourself silly with this. It doesn't really matter what those teams' rankings are. Just win the conference title, be undefeated, and then your case is made from there.
Well, the Badgers have a nice team, and seeing they're solid on both sides of the ball, and I think they'll be okay. I think Michigan could beat Ohio State if they get a quarterback that can play. Whether they got a third-string quarterback playing, I don't even know what their deal is.
Well, saying that in the college season, they're not making a trade. They're not signing Colin Kaepernick, though it's Jim Harbaugh's guy. So if they get a quarterback, well, they're not getting one in 2 weeks. So they're down to
How bad can these quarterbacks be? They have scholarships at the University of Michigan. I mean, come on. I mean, how bad can they be?
I don't know. Have you watched a Packer game lately? They could be fairly bad. They could have come from major colleges like UCLA and now be quarterbacking the Packers. So they don't have to be that good.
You had to bring the Packers up.
Sorry, but I'm just bringing up the point about quarterback play, that there are few and far between of guys who can play at this level that we're thinking, like Aaron Rodgers.
Where's Matt Flynn when you need him? Was he retired somewhere? Is he like a DJ at a bar in Seattle?
Well, he is retired. He says he jokingly says he's working out once a week if he feels like it, and then maybe less than that. So I don't think he's coming through that door anytime.
He's got me beat on the workout schedule. I'll tell you that right now. But he was when he was a backup, you thought, oh, he can just pass for more yards than the quarterback, the starter.
Yes, Matt Flynn proved he could get it done. But the Badgers have an okay quarterback, but he's also thrown an interception every game for about the past five or six games in a row. So you don't know if you can afford that when you're playing in Iowa, when you're playing in Michigan, and when you're going to play in a Big Ten championship.
Well, it's too painful to talk about. The Packers are too painful to talk about right now. But,
no, but I'm talking about the Badgers.
I know. Well, the Badgers are fine. Now, we've got the Badger Roundballers playing Friday against South Carolina State. You can't ever sleep on South Carolina State, can you, Rob?
I'm sorry, I dozed off. You were talking about South Carolina State. What? I can sleep on them every which way. Yeah.
Well, then they play Yale on Sunday. I'm going to...
Yes, they'll compare SAT scores afterwards.
Well, they probably have a very intelligent offensive scheme, is all I can say.
Sure, it's full of lots of cuts and screens.
Do we know what Yale's nickname is? Harvard is what, the Crimson or something? Or
They are the Crimson. Yale is, I believe, the Bulldogs.
The Yale Bulldogs?
I think so. I don't know.
That's like my alma mater with the Bulldogs, yeah.
They're the right-wing smart guys, and the Harvard are the left-wing smart guys. I don't know, something like that.
The Butler right-wingers?
No. Harvard.
Oh, Harvard.
Harvard left-wingers, Yale right-wingers.
Oh, Yale right-wingers.
You know the two schools tend to have a tendency as to where their political leanings are, those two schools.
I didn't know that.
Stop going back to Butler all the time.
Well, Yale, I mean, Jerry Brown went to Yale. Bill Clinton went to Yale.
The Bushes went to Yale.
The Bushes,
there's a few Republicans that have gone through Yale as well.
Okay.
I don't know if you're aware of this. We can run down the list if you'd like.
Bart Giamatti used to be the president of Yale.
Yes, I'm sure he did. I don't know where his political leanings were.
I don't think he was a right winger.
No, but he took down your guy Pete Rose.
That's true. Hey, what about the Badger hockey team is going to do pretty well, aren't they?
Hold on a second. Have you seen the Badger Hoops team yet? I mean, you brought them up, but then we didn't even talk about them at all, did you? Have you seen them play?
I have not yet. I'm going to see them twice this weekend, so.
Okay, well, watch for Kobe King, freshman out of lacrosse. The kid's the real deal. He looks the part already. I mean, there are some guys, you know, they come in as freshmen and they've had talented high school careers, and you're like, yeah, that kid's going to need at least a year or two to get stronger, get more ready for Big Ten type player, yeah. Division One football, but you know he could totally fool us and fall apart. But right now he looks the part.
Ready for prime time? Yeah. What about this Davison guy? There's a kid named Davison. I'm hearing good things about too.
Yes, that's the backcourt tandem for them. You put them with Dimitri Trice, and you've got three guys who can play in the backcourt. They've got obviously got Ethan Hatback, who's a player of the year candidate type ability, who's supposedly added a jumper, maybe even a three pointer. To his arsenal, and hopefully improved upon his free throw shooting from last year.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you've got a lot of question marks with an Andy Van Vliet and some other guys who can maybe contribute. And if they do, then that can mean good things for them this year. Good non-conference schedule, though, tough one.
Aleem Ford, the redshirt 6'8", he's the guy that fills the gap. Is it Brevin Pritzel or Bevan Pritzel? Is it Brevin? I love these names.
Brevin.
You got Brevin Pritzel. And Dimitri Trice. I mean, these are great names.
No, there's no more George and Larry's for you. You're going to have to get with it and come along for the ride for some new fun names.
Kind of reminds me of years ago, the Kansas City Chiefs had a guy named Turdell Hadnot. Hadnot.
No. Or you back in your day, the World Be Free's of the world.
World Be Free, man. How about Super John Williamson? There's a name from the past. You're too young for him.
How about your guy, Bobby Knight, calling out John Wooden, rest his soul?
Well, I agree with that.
Well, he finally got it. Did you hear about this? And then he's on Joe Buck's show tonight, where he calls out John Wooden while he's paying respect to his coaching ability, not so much for his recruiting ability or lack of control on Sam, what's his name? And
Sam Gilbert. What do you mean, what's his name? Sam Gilbert. You don't know what Sam Gilbert's last name is? Come on.
Well, of course I do, but it's also 1970, so I don't think that's exactly the most current reference. You can remember Brevin Pritzel's name, and he's playing on the Badger basketball team now.
Well, I remember Sam Gilbert.
I know you do.
They cheated like crazy.
I know you do. All well, right. Bobby made sure to bring it up and mention it.
Well, good. Thank you so much, Rob Vogel, Minnesota Nice. We appreciate it very much.
Don't give up on the Packers, Mitch.
Okay, I won't.
Right,
my fingers are crossed. All right.
You need more than that.
Thank you so much. Thank Mike Brockeveld for being our wonderful engineer for this broadcast. We thank the Keller Real Estate Group for the space here on West Washington Avenue. Check out the properties. Tuscan Place, Washington Court, the seniors on the west side, Whitcomb Square, and all that stuff is great. Just go to kellerapartments.com, kellerapartments.com. We have Bob Abella, the Wide World of Radio, coming up next. Radio shows from the 30s and 40s. Great stuff. The legends, Gracie and Alan, Jack, Benny, Al Jolson, Frank Sinatra, all over the head. And thank you for watching and listening on MedicineTalks.com and Facebook Live. We'll see you next week.